Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Most Alaskans don't understand how much heavy lifting tribal governments do when it comes to serving their members and the communities they live in. But President Richard Chatlyish Peterson hopes to change that. Welcome, President Peterson. Yake, iwasatini, wasaiati.
Good afternoon, Shelley. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Aktawu yake, gunachish. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, gunachish. My Tlingit name is Chatlyish. I'm Kagwantan from the Eagle's Nest House. My English name is Richard Peterson, and I'm the president of Tlingit and Haida.
And you are giving a talk this Friday for the Evening at Egan Lecture Series. It's titled Interrelationships Between Tribes, Corporations, and City, State, and Federal Governments. For starters, what are some of the reasons that you wanted to give a presentation on this topic?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity and the platform that the university provides with these evenings at the Egan. And through COVID, we're doing it by Zoom. It's just a really good opportunity to help explain these relationships and how important they are and educate people who may not otherwise know what the tribal governments are, what we stand for, our role is. I always kind of reflect that when I came to Juno as president of Tlingit and Haida, I actually had talked to longtime Junoites, and some of them really had no clue the role of Tlingit and Haida. Some thought we were like a social club or something, or really didn't know, and that we're a sovereign government with citizenry, and that we have intricate programs providing services and advocacy, and that we have our own governance and our tribal courts and so on and so forth.
Yes, and tribal governments are critical to the communities that they serve. However, the relationship between tribal and state governments remains contentious. Why is that? What are some of the reasons for that?
A lot of it, I think it's just misunderstandings. And I think what people don't know and assumptions create pretty big divides. And I think folks think that our sovereignty threatens, other sovereignties. Whether that's a municipal or state government. I come from a very small community on Prince of Wales Island, and there's 4 federally recognized tribes on Prince of Wales Island and 9 communities. And, we worked really hard to build relationships with each other as tribal governments, but then also with our communities, our non-native communities and our municipal governments. And I think we demonstrate when we pull together, rising tides, we all rise together, and so we're able to prove that. And I think when a tribe is healthy, I've adopted the adage, healthy tribes make healthy communities. And I think that's something that people just don't understand.
I want to follow up on that. You say healthy tribes make healthy communities. What does that look like to you at the ground level?
Sure. I mean, I think, at a very basic, it means, we've created economic and social and health opportunities. We have healthy, well-adjusted communities and citizens. The tribes provide quite a few different services. And I think if done right, if we're doing our job right, our citizens reflect that, and they're healthy contributors to the community, to their families, to schools and everything. So, I think that's where we can really demonstrate that.
You had mentioned that misunderstanding is maybe part of the reasons why there is so much contention. What are some of the misunderstandings about governments, such as Central Council, that you come across in your work?
Sure. Well, I think one basic misunderstanding is people think it's about race, and that they don't understand that we're a sovereign nation, that our governance has existed since time immemorial. And so the federal government has worked with us to solidify that, and as anybody knows history knows that hasn't been an easy relationship, but establishing tribal governments and ANCs, and these things have been an opportunity to recognize our own governance, our own leadership, and that, you know, it was never necessarily done away with or replaced. So, you know, we have an important role, and we do important work in advocacy every day.
What do you wish more people understood about tribal sovereignty?
I think recognizing that it, one, puts us on a, you know, we're not like on even keel with even the municipal governments. We're actually above them in the hierarchy and the way that works. But also that, again, I'll repeat that our sovereignty doesn't threaten anybody else's. Having a strong, vibrant tribal government doesn't take away from anybody else. It doesn't mean you get less or that we get more or anything like that. And I think we, again, if we have healthy tribal governments, if you have a local healthy local municipal government, if you have a healthy state government, we all prosper. And I think, you know, if you look across Alaska and many of our rural communities, you know, water and sewer, health clinics, schools, most of them only exist in there because of the tribes and the monies that tribes bring into those communities. I come from a very small rural community, Kasan. When I was very young, we didn't have running water. Running water and electricity was brought in because of Native monies. Well, everybody benefited from them. They didn't just go and provide it only to Native households. It was provided for the whole community because we were a Native community with a tribe.
I think we've seen that demonstrated even more recently with the vaccine rollout and what a huge role that tribal organizations and tribal governments played in making sure that not only their own citizens were vaccinated, but others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I've seen some of the kickback on that and people upset. And it's like, we should all be celebrating the fact that those opportunities were there and that we want healthy communities. We all need to play our role in stopping this virus. But it was good to see the recognition, and not just the recognition, I guess, but the rollout by the Native Health Service, right? From Search has done a phenomenal job here in Southeast to Alaska Native Tribal Health and ANMC in Anchorage. You know, I think they've demonstrated that collectively when we pull our wisdom, our money, and our resources together, we have one of the best healthcare systems in the nation here in Alaska. And I think, you know, we can all sit and say, oh man, you know, I can complain about Search all day long. I had a missed appointment, or they canceled it, or did this, or there's some mistake. I can guarantee you, I'm so thankful for the health system that we have. I've literally, they've saved my life. You know, I've been in the rural community. I literally went into anaphylaxis from allergic reaction, and it was those healthcare providers that brought me back and saved me. You know, I'm here today because of our health system. Now, you know, everything can use continual improvement. There's no doubt about that. And as a head of Clink and Haida, I can tell you we are constantly looking at ourselves for ways to improve because we know we need to do better. You know, the recent Rescue Act distribution, you know, I'm sure there's, if you go on social media, you will see plenty of complaints. You know, we'd made a promise of a 2-week turnaround that was a, you know, we goofed up on that one, and I'll own that. I'll sign my name to the mistake because, you know, it was a mistake. You know, it caught us off guard, and all we can do is to tell you, hey, we're every day endeavoring to do better. We're going to do better tomorrow than we did today.
Well, thanks for sharing all that. And I appreciate your humble attitude and your forward focus. But I wanted to ask your opinion on how state governments can be good or even better neighbors to tribal governments.
Oh, goodness. I can stand on a soapbox all day on this one. You know, I think we have, you know, the misnomer is that we don't have a relationship with the state, and we do. You know, Clinkett and Haida, we ourselves, we operate public safety, we operate TANF, and we have, you know, a child welfare compact. But it's ironic to me that they officially don't recognize our sovereignty and that we're here. But any agreement we enter into with them, they ask us to waive our sovereignty, you know. And I think, you know, my own personal success in my field and the work I've done has been based on relationships. And, you know, relationships aren't one-sided. It's a two-way street. I have to respect you at the table just as much as I'm asking you to respect me. And it's really hard fundamentally to do that when they don't even want to acknowledge our sovereignty, our existence, our place here, right? And so, you know, I've been a part of an initiative, Alaskans for a Better Government, and it's with Laganai, Liz Medicine Crow, and Wahlaugadak, Barbara Blake, and I. And we're the co-chairs, and we've partnered, and we've got a ballot initiative that the lieutenant governor just signed off on last week. And it's going to affirm, you know, should it get, we get the signatures and we get it on the ballot and it passes, then it'll affirm that relationship, that we have a government-to-government relationship, that there's that recognition there. And I've had people say, oh, it's really only symbolic. Well, then, you know, so is a marriage certificate, I guess. It's symbolic. You know, the ring you put on your finger is only symbolic. No, it's not just symbolic. I think it affirms that relationship. And I think it's, you know, I've watched for the last couple of sessions where the House has had a bill to recognize Alaska's tribes, and it, you know, hasn't made it through the Senate side. And I, you know, just frustrated at watching that. And we thought, you know what, maybe it's time to take this to our people. And what do the people of Alaska say? Not just our native people, but what do Alaskans say? Do you recognize tribes? Do you agree when I say healthy tribes make healthy communities? You know, and I think the majority does. There, we did a work with a group that did a poll early this spring that said over 60% of those polled agreed that tribes in Alaska should be recognized. So, you know, that gave us the idea, like, okay, let's do this. And honestly, I really believe in power of the people. So let the people tell our state government. And, you know, I think it's hard to ignore the will of our people.
I think there's some folks out there who might be surprised to learn that while Alaskan tribes and their government, something like 229, are recognized at the federal level, they are not formally recognized at the state level. And that's, maybe you can tell me a little bit more about what the proposed ballot initiative means. It, we'd be voting on it in the in next year, if that's correct, and it'll be on the ballot and we can vote on it. And what does it mean if it passes?
Well, again, it affirms that relationship, and I think that it should compel the legislature and our administration that, look, you have these recognized tribes to work with. I think we leave millions of dollars off the table that could come to Alaska, that we could be working together on projects for all of Alaskans. And if we did work together, we would have stronger communities. You know, we are at a state of crisis in not just rural Alaska, but I'd say Alaska in public safety. But, you know, it's paramount in rural Alaska where, you know, you could wait days for a response. We have a very limited VPSO force across rural Alaska. And, you know, their abilities are limited and they're, you know, kind of the best front line right now. But we could do more to improve public safety working with the state and municipal governments. And I think that's what we need to do. And I think, you know, you talk about education. Look, one of the biggest divides in Alaska is the inequity in broadband, right? Mm-hmm. And right now tribes are allowed 2.5 gigahertz in their areas, which is huge. And the federal government just allowed this, and there's billions of dollars coming at us to tribes for broadband. You know, I think of the community of Akiak in Western Alaska. My good friend Mike Williams is the president there. They're putting up towers today, It's their tribe, bringing broadband, high-speed internet to our communities. And we see an out-migration in our communities, people leaving because of job opportunities. Well, you know what we learned in with the COVID and this pandemic is we've been hiring people to, you know, all of our people have been working from home. And then it was that aha moment. If our existing staff can work from home, we can hire people and they don't all have to be in Juneau. And so we've been hiring people for jobs that where it can work, that they're be remote and they're in their villages. But you know what they need? High-speed internet. You could stem the tide right now if we had equity and high-speed internet across Alaska. And you don't even have equity, you know, between neighborhoods. I mean, from one part of Juneau can be really good and another part bad. Same for Anchorage or anywhere else. So broadband, I think, is kind of the next generation of how we can really bring sovereignty. And I think it's going to be a huge step for Alaskans as we materials online and sell them. You can do online e-commerce, education, health. I mean, we need high-speed internet, you know. And sure, it might be for those that have Netflix or gaming, that might be great too, but I have to believe that it's going to be what really evolves and going to be the next step in kind of the technological evolution of our country.
I could honestly keep talking to you about this all day, but we've kind of got off track. You will be presenting this Friday, and your presentation is again about the interrelationships between tribes, corporations, city, state, and federal governments. It's via Zoom, 7 o'clock, 5 p.m. It's free. You could register at uasalaska.edu. Are these some of the topics you'll be touching on in your presentation?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about is, you know, the existing relationships, where they are, where they've been, and where they should be.
That's great. I hope everyone tunes in. I personally have a lot of questions I didn't get to ask you today, so maybe I'll save those for Friday. And I'm just, you know, really interested in hearing about some of your experiences and your opinions. Richard Chatlish Peterson, President for Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Thanks again so much for talking with me today. Gunash Chish.
Chish, how are you?